Aglaé, sete mais Aglaé, Shila Prabhupada.
Ua Kunta Jin, Fu Yuan Ling Ting, Kowe Junjin, the Fungian Jo, Daja Zhao Hao, Tintin Shi Erling, Ijo Nian Si Yu, Ash Fari, Sin Chi Ri, Wum Sin Tin, the Yunong Fei Chong Rong Sin, the Yao Ting Dong, Wum Sin Major, the Iji Sin Major, the Wum, the Jing and the Ashu, Krishna Baladev, Papu, Wum Ji Shi Jiang Shu, Tintin, the Shengian Boya Watan the Zoko, Tintin Ling Ting, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So you continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto, chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed. And today we read from text 40 and 41.
We are continuing to read the second canto, the sixth chapter of the Purusha Sukta, and the confirmed. Today we read the
Vishuddham.
Vishuddham.
Kevalam.
Kevalam.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Vishuddham Kevalam Jnanam.
Vishuddham Kevalam Jnanam.
Pratyak.
Pratyak.
Samyak.
Samyak.
Avashtitam.
Avashtitam.
Pratyak Samyak Avashtitam.
Pratyak Samyak Avashtitam.
Satyam.
Satyam.
Purnam.
Purnam.
Nadi.
Nadi.
Antam.
Antam.
Satyam Purnam Anadiyantam.
Satya Purnam Anadiyantam.
Nirgunam.
Nirgunam.
Nityam.
Nityam.
Advayam.
Advayam.
Nirgunam Nityam Advayam.
Nirgunam Nityam Advayam.
Vishuddham Kevalam Jnanam.
Vishuddham Kevalam Jnanam.
Pratyak Samyak Avastitam.
Pratyak Samyak Avastitam.
Satyam Purnam Anadyantam.
Satya Purnam Anadyantam.
Nirgunam Nityam Advayam.
Nirgunam Nityam Advayam.
Okay, I read the other verse alone. Rishe Vidanti Munaya Prasanta Mendriya Shashayaya Yadayata Devasa Tarke Stirodhyeta Viplutam. Okay, word for word. Vishuddham.
Vishuddham, 没有任何物质的污染.
Kevalam.
Kevalam, 纯洁而又完美的.
Jnanam.
Jnanam, 知识.
Pratyak.
Pratyak, 无所不在的.
Samyak.
Samyak, 圆满.
Avashtitam.
Avashtitam, 处于.
Satyam.
Satyam, 真理.
Purnam.
Purnam, 绝对的.
Anadi.
Anadi, 没有开始.
Antam.
Antam, 因此也没有结束.
Nirgunam.
Nirgunam, 而且没有物质的属性.
Nityam.
Nityam, 永恒的.
Advayam.
Advayam, 没有对手.
Rishi.
Rishi Narada, 伟大的圣人.
Vidanti.
Vidanti, 他们只能了解.
Munaya.
Munaya, 伟大的思想家.
Prashanta.
Prashanta, 平静.
Atma.
Atma, 自我.
Indriya.
Indriya, 感官.
Ashaya.
Ashaya, 取得庇护.
Yada.
Yada, 当什么时.
Tat.
Tat, 那.
Eva.
Eva, 肯定的.
Asat.
Asat, 不合理的.
Tarkai.
Tarkai, 辩论.
Tira dieta.
Tira dieta, 消失.
Viplutam.
Viplutam, 取解的.
A translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
译文和要旨由圣 Srila Prabhupada 提供. 第一文，人格守神，不受任何物质的污染，是纯洁的。它是绝对真理和完善知识的化身。它无所不在，没有开始或结束，也没有对手。Ananda 伟大的圣人，在摆脱了所有的物质束缚，并脱离于不受打扰的感官后，伟大的思想家可以了解它。相反，靠没有根据的思辨性辩论，一切都被歪曲，至尊主也会从我们的视野里消失。要旨：这节诗是对至尊主在短暂的物质创造中所从事的种种超然活动的评价。非人格主义假象宗 Mayavadi 哲学试图说，至尊主在化身前来时是被物质躯体所污染。这节诗通过说明至尊主在任何情况下都是至纯至粹的，来彻底否定非人格神主义假象宗歪曲事实的说法。按照假象宗哲学的说法，灵性的灵魂被无知所包裹时是个体灵魂，但摆脱这种无知后便融入了绝对真理不具人格特征的存在中。可是这节诗里说，至尊主永恒是完整和知识的象征，至尊主永恒的不受一切物质污染，这就是它的特殊之所在，是它与普通的个体生物之间的区别。个体生物有受限制无知的倾向，个体生物有受制于无知的倾向，因此与物质认同。韦达经说，至尊主充满知识和快乐，受制约的个体灵魂有被污染的倾向，因此永远都无法与至尊主相比。尽管个体生物解脱后在质上与至尊主一样，但它容易受污染的倾向，使它与从不受污染的至尊主有着天壤之别。韦达经中说，个体灵魂会被污染，但是至尊主却永远都不会被罪恶所污染。至尊主被比喻为是强而有力的太阳，太阳是如此的强大，以致不但永远不会被任何有传染性的事物所污染，但相反可以用自己放射的阳光去消毒并且污染去消毒被污染的东西。同样的道理，至尊主不但永远不会被罪恶所污染，相反有罪的个体生物可以通过与至尊主相接触而得到净化。这意味着至尊主像太阳普照大地一样无所不在。正因为如此，这节诗里用了梵文无所不在的 pratyak 一词，万事万物都在至尊主本人及其扩展的范围内无一例外。至尊主既在一切事物中，又包含一切，且不受个体灵魂活动的打扰，因此它无限大，而生物则极为渺小。伟大经中说，只有至尊主是独立存在的，所有其他的生物都是依靠它而存在，每一个生物的生存能力都来源于它，它是所有其他各种真理的至尊真理，每一个生物体所拥有的财富都来自它，因此没有谁在财富方面是与它平等的。由于它绝对拥有钱财、名望、力量、美丽、知识和气绝这六种财富，它肯定是至高无上的人。而由于它是一个人，它虽然超越物质自然的三种属性，但还是拥有很多个人的特质。在《圣典·博加瓦坛》第一篇第七章的第十四节中，我们已经谈过，至尊主的超然的特质是如此的吸引人，就连解脱的灵魂都深深地被他所吸引。他虽然拥有一切人格特征，但仍是全能的。正因为如此，他本人并不需要做什么，因为一切都是他全能的能量做好了的。就有关这一点，伟达赞美诗中证实说，至尊主有很多方面的能力，因此 它的活动自然而然地自动进行着，这暗示了身体的物质感官所感知不到它所特有的灵性的形象。感官只有通过做奉爱服务得到净化后才能够看到它。至尊主和个体生物之间在很多方面有着根本的区别。韦达经声明，没有谁能够与至尊主相比，至尊主没有竞争对手，他不惧怕任何其他的生物，也没有谁能与他相平等。他虽然是所有其他生物的来源，但却与其他生物有着根本的区别，否则前面的世界中就没有必要说没人能完全了解他了。这节诗中也解脱也解释说，没有人能够完全的了解至尊主，但具备了一定资格可以对他有某种程度的了解。只有至尊主纯粹的奉献者才能够更多的了解至尊主。这其中的原因是奉献者对自己的生活没有任何的要求，而只想成为至尊主顺从的仆人。至于其他人，无论是经验主义哲学家、神秘主义者还是功利性活动者，基本上都有所求，因此心静不下来。功利性活动者想得到工作的报酬，神秘主义者想获得某些神通，经验主义者则想融入至尊主的存在。无论如何，人只要有满足感官的要求，就没有平静的机会。相反，不必要的进行枯燥的推测性辩论，反而使人曲解真相，越来越不了解至尊主。不过，进行枯燥思辨的人，因为遵守苦修的原则，所以能够在某种程度上了解至尊主的非人格特征，但却没有机会了解他作为Govinda的最原始的形象。只有完全无罪的人，才能够为至尊主做纯粹的奉爱服务。正如《薄伽梵歌》第七章的第28诗节中所证实的，在前世和今生行善并彻底消除了罪恶的人，摆脱由错觉产生的二元性，坚定地为我服务。译文：人格守神不受任何物质的污染，是纯净的，它是绝对真理和完善知识的化身，它无所不在，没有开始或结束，也没有对手。啊，Narada，伟大的圣人，在摆脱了所有的物质束缚，并脱避于不受打扰的感官后，伟大的思想家可以了解他。相反，靠没有根据的思辨性的辩论，一切都会被歪曲，至尊主也会从我们的视野里消失。
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Dhyanatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavade Pashatate Shatarine Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Panchakaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we continue hearing the discussion between Lord Brahma and Narada Muni.
我们在这里继续聆听主 Brahma 和 Narada Muni 之间的对话。
This is already this conversation began already in previous chapter.
他们之间的对话是在之前的那一章里面已经开始了。
Because Narada Muni was very curious, he wanted to know certain things from his father.
因为 Narada Muni 他非常的好奇，他想从他的父亲那里去了解一些事情。
He wanted to know what is the background of this material creation.
他希望知道这物质创造后面的背景的情况。
how it was created,
它是怎么被创造出来的？
How is it maintained,
它是如何被维系的？
And who is in control of doing everything, to have everything done?
是谁控制着这一切，使这一切都被完成了？
These are very, very important questions that human beings should ask, this type of questions.
这些都是非常重要的问题，人类应该去询问这些问题。
We are in this material world, so may wonder who created, because everything we know within our experience, everything that we use in our daily lives is created by somebody.
那么我们是生活在这个物质世界的，我们就希望能够了解是谁创造出了这个物质世界。那么我们每天生活中所需要用的一些事情以及在被维系的这些事物，都是由谁在维系着的呢？
The food we eat, the clothes we dress with, all the little gadgets we use in our daily life, everything is created by somebody.
我们每天所用的这些设备、这些设施，我们所穿的衣服，我们所吃的食物，所有这一切都应该是由某一个人给它创造出来的。
So it's natural that an inquisitive mind will ask also the question, who created this all this material world?
所以，由于我们有一个非常的好奇的心理，所以说呢，我们就很自然的。会发出这样的问题，到底是谁创造出了这个世界？
And how is he maintaining it?
以及他是如何去维系的？
So he could understand that Lord Brahma had been the secondary creation. So all the planets, all the different forms of living entities, this was all created by Lord Brahma.
那他知道主 Brahma 是二重创造的创造者。所有的这些星系，那么所有的这些生命形式，全部都是由主 Brahma 所创造的。
Because he could see Lord Brahma had a complete grasp of everything within the creation.
因为他知道主 Brahma 他明了在创造中的所有的这一切。
So it was kind of in the back of his mind. Is my father the creator of everything?
所以在他内心里面，他就想，是我的父亲，他是这一切的创造者。
But then he noticed that Lord Brahma had performed many austerities and underwent meditation.
但是呢，他又注意到主 Brahma 经历了很多的苦行，而且呢，他还在进行着冥想。
So it means there is somebody higher, more powerful than him that is allowing him or giving him the knowledge to create.
那所以呢，也就意味着有一个比他还要更高的一个力量或者一个知识使他能够得以去进行创造。
So even if Lord Brahma was able to create something and certainly did an incredible service, it's very, very powerful, but he wants to know,What is the real source? Where the knowledge you had to do all this came from?
所以说呢，虽然说主 Brahma 他是有这种超凡的能力去创造，并且呢，他也确实是做了非常的优秀的卓越的创造的这个活动。但是呢，他希望了解在 Brahma 后面支撑他的人是谁，导致了他能够去从事这么美妙的工作。
So what is your real position, my dear father?
所以我亲爱的父亲呢，您真正的位置是什么呢？
And who under whose protection are you?
那您是在谁的保护之下呢？
Because if he's meditating, he's performing austerities, means he's trying to please somebody with allowing him to do what he does.
因为如果您要是在进行着冥想的话，也就是您是在通过这样的冥想去取悦某人，然后使这个人呢得以让你能够去从事你现在所从事的活动。
So Lord Brahma was very happy to hear these questions.
所以当主 Brahma 听到他问这个问题以后呢，他就很开心。
Because in this way he felt inspired. He felt inspired to speak about the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
因为这样呢，就激励着他
能够去讲出至尊人格守神的力量。
Gave him opportunity to speak that there is a much higher truth behind him.
所以就给他了一个机会去讲述，在他之上还有一个更高的真相。
So it gave opportunity to Lord Brahma to glorify Krishna.
所以呢，这也就给了主 Brahma 一个机会去荣耀主 Krishna。
So previous chapter and this chapter, Lord Brahma has been describing how the Lord through his different energies, you know, he puts everything into place.
那所以在上面一章以及这一章呢，主 Brahma 他就解释了他是如何通过他的能量把这些事物让他们各就各位。
How his energies are actually no different from him, and through his energies is pervading everywhere.
以及呢，他的能量以及他自己本人没有任何的区别，他的这个能量呢也是遍存万有的。
How the Lord manifests as the Purusha avatars for the purpose of manifesting this material world and subsequent creations.
以及呢，主他如何是以 Purusha avatar 的形象展现，然后这样呢，他才可以去。展现这个物质世界，并且呢，允许后面的这些事情的发生。
And then he starts mentioning about the Supreme Lord himself in his original form.
并且呢，他又开始去描述至尊人格守神在他原初形象下的状态。
How is such a great personality that nobody can really know him completely?
他是如何一位伟大的人物，以至于没有任何一个人是能够完全的了解他的。
Because the Lord is totally transcendental to material existence, and his nature is inconceivable.
因为主呢，他是完全超越于这物质创造的，而且呢，他的本性就是他的这种性状也是不可思议的。
So individual souls can never understand him really.
所以说呢，作为一个个体的灵魂，是永远都不可能真正的理解他的。
Because the Lord is infinite and we are infinitesimal.
因为主他是无限的，而我们却是非常的有限的，并且是渺小的。
And particularly within this material world, the means that we have to gather knowledge are so imperfect.
而且我们是处在这个物质世界，也就意味着我们所获得的知识是如此的不完美。
So it's very, very much stressing the importance to understand that the ultimate truth, the absolute truth, is a person.
所以他这里面呢，就大大的这个强调了真正的知识，最终极的知识是一个人。
Even though he's all pervading through his energy, through his impersonal aspect, he still is a person who has qualities, who has characteristics.
虽然说呢，他是通过他非人格的能量遍存万有，但是呢，他却是一个人，而且这个人呢是具有各种各样的性格特性的。
And this personality comes into this material world at regular periods.
而且这个人呢，他是会间断性的来到就是在一个有规律性的这个阶段性的来到这个物质世界的。
And it manifests himself in a form that can be visible even to conditioned souls.
他呢会展现于一种可以被见到的形象，即便是受条件限制的灵魂也可以看到他。
So impersonalists, Mayavadis, they tend to, because they only accept the absolute truth as being impersonal, they say that when the absolute truth manifests as a person within the material world, it becomes contaminated, like any material form is contaminated by material nature.
所以呢，Mayavadi 他们因为接受的这个主的他们接受的这个至尊的这种形象呢，是非人格的，是一种非人格的形象，遍存万有的。所以说呢，当主他是一个人格的形象来到这个物质世界的时候呢，他们就认为主的这个人格的形象和其他的在物质世界所存在的这些人格的形象一样，都是被物质世界所污染了的形象。
So they think that the absolute truth manifests a form in the material world, but that form is subjected to the laws of material nature.
对他们就说呢，这个至尊的真理，他们在这个物质世界是一个形象展现，但是这个形象呢是受制于物质自然的规律的，就是物质自然的定律的。
Because this is the experience they have of forms within the material world. Any form within the material world is subjected to deterioration, to degradation.
那么他们这个是来自于他们是在这个物质世界里面的这个形象而产生的这种感觉。那么在这个物质世界的这种形象呢，就是会被物质世界的这个状态给污染了的。
Mm-hmm. But Lord Brahma is stating the position of the Lord is always pure, is always transcendental.
但是主 Brahma 他就讲到了，他说主他的这个形象一直都是始终都是保持纯净的，而且呢都是超然的。
The Lord, no matter in what form he comes into the material world, is totally free from any material contamination.
主他无论以什么样的形象来到这个物质世界，他都是始终免除于任何的污染的。
Because material energy is under his control, can never control him.
因为物质能量是在他的控制之下的，是没有办法控制他的。
And is never subjected to the miseries of this material world because the Lord is full of bliss and full of knowledge.
因为主呢，他是完全的极乐和充满了知识的，所以说呢，他也不可能会被局限在物质世界的痛苦之中。
Yes, the individual souls, even though are coming from him, the individual souls have the tendency to become contaminated by material energy.
那么这个个体的灵魂虽然说是来自于主的，但是呢，它却会有一种会被物质能量所污染了的倾向。
Yes, it's true. When individual soul becomes free, free from material existence, then it develops the same quality as the Supreme Lord.
那当然，这个个体生物当它摆脱了物质存在的影响的时候呢，它也能够展现出和主相同的品质。
So when he's liberated from material existence, yes, he manifests the same qualities as the Supreme Lord.
所以说，当他从这个物质的世界中得到了解脱之后呢，那他就能够展现出和至尊主同样的品质。
But the individual soul, being infinitesimal, being so small, he has the tendency to become contaminated.
但是呢，作为个体灵魂，他是非常的渺小的、有限的，所以说呢。它就会被物质的能量所影响、所污染。
But that tendency to become contaminated, the Lord does not have.
但是呢，主却不会有这种被物质能量所污染的倾向。
The individual soul can become polluted by sin, but the Lord is never contaminated by sins.
个体灵魂它是有可能被罪恶所毒害的。就是这个个体灵魂，他会去中罪的毒，但是主他就永远都不会去中这样的毒。
And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the sun.
Srila Prabhupada 就给了我们关于太阳的例子。
The sun is never contaminated by any dirty, any polluted thing.
太阳它永远都不会被任何的肮脏的事物所污染。
Because the sun is very powerful.
因为太阳是非常的有力量的。
On the contrary, any dirty, contaminated thing can become purified by the rays of the sun.
相反，任何被污染了的这些事物呢，它是有可能被太阳所净化的。
So the sun cannot be contaminated by material energy, but it can purify material energy.
所以说太阳它不可能被物质的能量所污染，但是它可以去净化物质能量。
So whether it's an infected thing or dirty thing, because of the sun rays, everything can become purified.
对，如果要是有一些污染的物质存在的话，那么这个太阳的这个阳光呢， 就可以把这些污染的这些东西给清理掉。
The same, the Lord is never contaminated by sins within this material world.
那同样的，主也是永远都不会被物质世界的这些罪恶所污染。
But the sinful living entities, by coming in contact with the Lord, can become purified of these sinful tendencies.
而且呢，罪恶的这些生物体，那么当它通过和主得到了这种触碰之后，和主通过这种连接之后呢，它可以把它的这些罪恶给清理掉、净化掉。
So the Lord is within everything.
所以主呢，它是存在于任何一切事物之内的。
Is all pervaded through his energies.
对呢，它是通过它的能量变存所有。
Is present as in a small fragment of himself as the super soul in everyone's heart.
然后呢，它是一个非常小的这种状态，居住于每一个生物体的心中的。
But the Lord remains remains always infinite.
但是主呢，他无论是怎样一种状态，他始终都保持着无限的状况，无限的。
Even though he can manifest in a small form within everyone's heart, the Lord is always infinite.
即便是他可以显现成是一个非常小的居住于每一个生物体心中的灵魂，但是呢，他依然是无限的。
Yes, is there next to the soul, and the soul is totally conditioned by material energy when he enters in a material body, but the Lord is the super soul. He remains infinite. He remains totally transcendental without being affected the least by the material body where is he staying.
这个超灵就主呢，他是居住在个体灵魂的身边。那么这个个体灵魂，当他进入到了一个物质的躯体以后呢，他就会被这个物质的躯体的受限制的这种状态所局限，但是呢，作为超灵居住于这个个体灵魂身边的主，他却永远都不会被他所存在的这个身体所局限。
And yes, as there's so much opulence within this material world, and many people, many living entities are endowed with some opulences.
在这个物质世界呢，有很多的财富，而且呢，也有很多的个体的灵魂，就是这些个体的人呢，他们也被赋予了很多的财富。
And we know there are many people who are very powerful, very wealthy, very famous.
而且我们也知道有很多人是非常的强大的，非常的富有的，而且呢，也是很有名声的，很有名望的。
Beauty, knowledge.
很美丽，也很有知识。
And when people have these opulences, they tend to have a certain power of control over other living entities.
那么，当人有了这些富裕的财富的时候呢，他们就会有一种倾向，就希望去控制其他的人。
So some people even think that they can lord over other living entities, control their existence.
那么有些人呢，甚至于觉得他们可以完全的主宰其他的生物体，可以去掌控别人的存在与否。
History of mankind tells us about so many of these so-called controllers.
在人类历史的长河中，有很多的这些想要去控制其他人的例子。
And this continues even today.
在今天也依然还存在。
Because they think they have these opulences, they are the owners of these opulences, and they got these opulences by their own ability.
因为他们觉得他们拥有这些财富，而且拥有这些富裕，而且他们觉得呢，这些富裕呢是通过他们自己的这个能力去获得的。
They deny the existence of the Supreme Lord, who is the source of everyone's opulence.
所以他们就他们不承认，他们否认，主是一切的富裕的源头，是一切富裕的拥有者。
So yes, they can manifest some great opulence, but they can never have the opulences. They can never be equal to the Lord in all opulences.
对，他们是可以有一些财富的，但是他们永远都不可能拥有和主同样的富裕。
The Lord the Supreme Lord possesses all opulences completely and perfectly and always.
那主呢？他是拥有所有的这些富裕的，而且呢，他是完全的拥有了这些富裕，而且呢，他是永恒的、永远的拥有着这些富裕的。
So people can become powerful because of some of these opulences, but those opulences just manifest for a certain time. And where are they? Where are all these powerful from the past who had so much power of control? They are all gone.
这些人，有些人呢是可以拥有一些富裕的，但是他们所拥有的这些富裕呢，只不过是在一个临时的阶段所拥有的。那么这些拥有富裕的这些人都到哪里去了呢？这些历史上展现的这些人，他们现在都在哪儿呢？他们现在已经消失了。
Because their opulences were dependent on the Lord. It was the Lord gave those opulences for some time.
因为他们所拥有的这些富裕呢，也是在主的支撑下的，是主在某一定的时间内把这些富裕赐给了他们。
The same person who took away those opulences from them was the same person who at one time gave them these opulences.
但是也就是同样的这个人呢，把他们所具有的这些富裕呢又给拿走了，当时也是这个人把富裕给了他们。
So the Lord is a person.
所以主是一个人。
Has many personal qualities.
对，他有很多人格性的特征。
His qualities are so attractive, so wonderful.
所以他的这些特征呢，是非常的具有吸引力的，是非常的美妙的。
That even liberated souls are attracted by them.
即便是那些解脱了的灵魂，也会被他被这些特征所吸引。
His qualities are transcendental, are very, very wonderful.
那么他的这些特征呢，是超然的，是非常非常美妙的。
It is all attractive, is all blissful, and he can.Relate with everyone in a very wonderful personal way in so many different loving exchanges.
那这些是永恒的，而且呢是极乐的，而且呢它是可以和所有的人以满怀着爱意的这种方法。
That's why those
去和个人去进行甜美的交流。
That's why those persons devotees who have realized something about the personal qualities of the Lord, they are not attracted to any form of material enjoyment.
所以说那些能够了解主的个人特征的那些人的某些，就是那些能够了解主的个人特征的某些方面的人，他们就不会被物质世界的任何事物所吸引了。
They are not attracted even by mystic powers or liberation.
他们甚至于不会被这些玄秘力量或者是解脱所吸引。
They become attracted to know the Lord, to develop a loving relationship with the Lord.
他们被吸引的是想要去了解主，并且呢能够去培养出和主之间的爱的关系。
Because they realize that the qualities of the Lord have nothing to do with this material qualities.
因为他们意识到主他所具有的这些特征和物质世界的特征没有任何的区别。
They are all eternal. All these qualities are eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss.
因为所有的这些特征呢都是永恒的，都是极乐的，并且是充满了知识的。
That's why we hear it.In the scriptures, how great personalities who already have achieved liberation from material existence, like for instance the four Kumaras, they become attracted to the Supreme Lord.
也就是为什么我们会听到那些已经达到了解脱状态的这些伟大的人，比如说像四库玛尔兄弟，他们也会被至尊主所吸引。
They had no material contamination. They were totally free from material existence.
他们已经没有任何的物质的污染，而且已经完全的从物质存在中解脱了。
But when they smell the fragrance of the flowers and tulasi leaves that were offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, they became so attracted to the Lord.
但是呢，当他们闻到了 供奉给主的莲花族的图拉西叶的芬芳之后呢，他们就完全的被主所吸引了。
They became totally conquered by the wonderful qualities of the Lord, this wonderful form.
他们呢就完全被主的这美妙的形象的完美的品质所征服了。
So a person who has experienced something about the transcendental reality of the transcendental form and qualities of the Lord is not attracted even by liberation. But a person who is liberated, he can become attracted to the wonderful form and qualities of the Lord.
所以说当一个人他了解到了主的超然的品质形象和他的这个状态的时候呢，那么他就不会再被想要得到解脱这样的事情所吸引了。但是一个解脱了的人，那么当他就是接触到了主的这些超人的品质的时候呢，他也会被其所吸引，深深的吸引。
Shukadeva Goswami, he was already situated in a liberated platform. He didn't even want to take birth from the womb of his mother. So free he was from material contamination.
Shukadeva Goswami, 他已经是处在解脱的状态。他甚至于他为了要摆脱物质的污染而不希望从他母亲的子宫中被生出来。
And when finally took birth on the request of Lord Krishna, he just walked out. He didn't even undergo any rituals for purification. Just walked out into the forest without any cares about his father and mother crying behind him.
后来在 Krishna 的在主 Krishna 的要求之下呢，他被生了出来。可是他被生出来以后呢，他所做的事情是没有经过任何的出生进化的仪式，而就这么。也自顾自的就走到森林里面去了，他根本就不管他的父母亲在后面对他的这个哭喊。
So he was totally situated in impersonal platform, personal liberation.
那所以说呢，他是完全的处在一个解脱的状态。
But when he heard about the Lord's pastimes with his devotees, he became totally attracted to the Lord.
但是当他听到了至尊主和他的奉献者之间的逍遥时光的时候呢，他就完全的被主所吸引了。
In fact, Krishna with his wonderful qualities attracts anyone within the creation. Anyone is attracted by the Lord.
事实上呢，在这个物质世界的创造中的所有的人都被至尊主所具有的这些美妙的品质所吸引。
So this is the nature of the Lord. His transcendental form and qualities are so wonderful that everybody becomes attracted to him, even liberated souls.
那么所以说呢，这就是主他所处在的状态，他超然的品质和超然的状态，超然的处在是非常的吸引人的，即便是那些已经解脱了灵魂也被他所深深的吸引。
But he has nothing. Even though it's so powerful, he has nothing to do and it does not involve himself within the material world.
虽然他是如此的强大，但是呢，他绝对不会让自己和这个物质世界相染。
So the Lord, by his characteristics, by his transcendental and inconceivable characteristics, the Lord cannot be understood by the conditioned souls.
那么所以说呢，就是因为主他所处在的这种超然的品质或者超然的特征，使得被限制的灵魂是没有办法真正的理解他的。
And this Lord Brahma has already been speaking about that for a few verses before.
在之前的几个诗节里面呢，主 Brahma 已经谈到了这一点。
But here is giving a hint that actually there is a way of understanding something about the transcendental and inconceivable nature of the Lord.
但是呢，主 Brahma 在这里面呢，就给大家提供了一些线索，就是告诉我们实际上是有一种方法能够去了解主的超然的特性的。
So in a verse, Lord Brahma say, "Oh Narada, great sage, the great thinkers can know him." When completely free from all material hankerings and when sheltered under the undisturbed condition of the senses.
那所以他就说呢Narada 伟大的圣人在摆脱了所有的物质束缚并脱不于不受感官打扰的感官后 伟大的思想家就可以了解他了。
So here is hinting to some qualification that is required to understand the Lord to some degree.
所以他这里面呢，就给我们提供了一些线索，就是如果要是我们具备了某些品质的话，是能够从某种程度上去理解主的。
So only the devotees and the loyal devotees of the Lord can know Him.
所以只有主的奉献者，只有主的纯粹的奉献者可以了解他。
And to a great extent, we can say.
那么 great extent.
Extent means to certain, a much greater extent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 那么就是从很大程度上去了解他的。
Because, as Srila Prabhupada said, the devotees have no demands in their lives.
因为 Srila Prabhupada 讲到了，奉献者在他们的生活中是没有任何的需求的，没有任何需求的。
They just want to be obedient servants of the Lord.
他们想做的事情呢，只是想成为主的非常的恭顺的仆人。
Where all others, the fruitive workers, the philosophers, those who are after liberation or mystic powers, they all have some demands. They all have some requests. That's why they cannot be peaceful.
但是呢，那些功利性的活动者，还有就是那些思辨家，以及想要获得解脱的这些玄秘的瑜伽师，他们是有要求的。那么就是因为他们是有要求的，所以呢，他们内心就总是不能够达到完全的平和。
Yeah, karmis, they want the reward of their work. They want to have the fruits of their work to enjoy.
比如说 karmi, 他们是希望能够获得工作的结果，因为他们需要这个活动的结果去进行享受。
The mystic yogis, they want to achieve some mystic powers, some perfections.
那这些玄秘的瑜伽师呢，他们是希望能够得到一些玄秘的力量，然后呢，从而达到完美。
And the gyanis, they want to merge into the existence of the Lord.
而 gyani 思辨家，他们是希望能够和主相融。
So they are always hankering for something.
所以他们总是在渴望着某些事情。
They hanker for some perfection.
他们总是在渴求着得到某种完美。
And because they are hankering, they cannot be peaceful.
那么就是由于他们是在渴望渴求，所以他没有办法平和。
That's why impersonalists, yes, to certain, they can understand the impersonal, to certain extent, they can understand the impersonal feature of the Lord.
那么这些非人格主义者呢，他们从某种程度上能够理解，能够了解到主的非人格的方面。
Because they endeavor, they practice great austerities and penances and study the scriptures. So they endeavor. So to a certain extent, the Lord allows them to understand something about His impersonal features.
因为他们非常的努力，他们呢在努力的了解主的非人格的特征，然后呢他们努力的在学习经典，而且他们努力的在通过苦行，通过忏悔在做这些事情，所以主呢就允许他们从某种意义上某种程度上去了解他。
But there is no way they can understand the form of the Supreme Lord.
但是呢他们却没有办法，完全没有方法去理解，不可能去理解主的人格的形象。
The form, the qualities, the activities of the Lord, they cannot understand these things.
那么主的形象、主的品质，还有主的活动，他们是没有办法去理解的。
Only those who are completely free from material desires, they can understand the Lord.
只有那些完全的摆脱了物质欲望的人，才能够理解主。
That's why Srila Prabhupada in the end quotes this very important verse from Bhagavad Gita 7:28. Maybe you can look for the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, 那也就是为什么Srila Prabhupada 在这节诗的要旨的最后引述了《薄伽梵歌》的这个非常重要的诗节。
Srila Prabhupada put the Sanskrit but not the translation.
Srila Prabhupada 只是把译文放在这里，但是没有放就只是把这个梵文放在这里，但是没有放译文。
7:28.
这是第七章的第28十节。In Chinese, we have the translation here.
Ah, you have. Okay, great. You can read then.
Okay. 第七章的第二八十节，在前世和今生行善并彻底消除了恶报的人，摆脱由错觉产生的相对性，坚定地为我做服务。
So we may wonder, acted piously in previous lives and in this life. So means if a person is pious, he can understand the Supreme Lord.
那么在这个世界里面，因为他提到了就是在前世和今生以虔诚的活动，那也就是说通过虔诚的活动能够了解至尊主。
But we hear in an act of devotion that's not possible by material pious activities, we can never understand the Supreme Lord.
但是呢，在奉爱的甘露里面呢，我们有了解到，如果我们要是只是去从事物质的虔诚的活动的话，我们永远都不可能去了解至尊主的。
So how can people just because of being pious, how can they attract the devotees, the pure devotees' mercy?
所以说呢，人们如何只是通过虔诚而能够吸引到纯粹奉献者的仁慈呢？
This is a very special piety.
那么这个其实是一个非常的特别的一种虔诚。
It's because of the piety.Their piety attracts the devotees' mercy.
那么就是由于这种虔诚，所以才会吸引到奉献者的仁慈。
It's only because of the mercy of the devotee.
所以这里面完全只是由于奉献者的仁慈。
Because only by the mercy of the Lord's devotee, the sins can be destroyed.And faith in the Lord and in the process of devotional service can be established in the heart.
只有通过主和奉献者的仁慈，才有可能让内心中的这些罪恶被消除掉，然后呢，才有可能在内心中去迸发出对主做奉献服务的想法。
So it's not because of their piety that they get to know the Lord.
并不是由于他们的虔诚使他们能够得以见到了主或认识主。
It's because of their piety they are more inclined to accept the pure devotee's mercy.
但是呢，就是由于他是虔诚的，所以呢，使他更加有可能去接受至尊主的奉献者的仁慈。
Because there are many pious people in this world, and they are not attracted to Krishna. They are not attracted to devotional service.
因为在这个世界，其实有很多虔诚的人，但是呢，他们对主和对这个奉献服务是没有任何的吸引的，不被吸引的。
So that's why Srila Prabhupada says that pure all the devotees of the Lord.Traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. He says that in the purport.
Where is that? Sorry, Ashok, could you say it again?
Let me see if I can find in a purport.
昨天阿叔引述了这些诗，就是这些诗的要旨里面的一句话，想找到这句话。Because I also remember that is in the purport. So
yeah, it's in the purport. Yeah, we just read it.
Yeah. But when is it?
You looking?
Yeah, I'm looking, but I. Also, maybe you just say it again.
Okay.
Oh,
we just read it. Anyway, so Prabhupada says, all the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion.
所以说释迦牟尼佛在这个世界里面就讲到他，所以呢就是这些主的纯粹的奉献者，他们在这个物质世界里面游走的原因呢，就是为了要去恢复受条件限制灵魂的原本的 心态。
So this is what Srila Prabhupada did.
那么所以这也就是 Srila Prabhupada 他所做的事情。
He went all over the world.
他去到了全世界。
And by his merciful glance, by his merciful presence, by his talking, by his chanting the holy name, he attracts so many impious, sinful people.
所以呢，就是通过他的言行举止，通过他的美妙的唱诵，使他的吸引了很多的有罪的人。
They were impious. They were sinful.
那么这些人呢，是不虔诚的，而且呢，也是有罪的。
But by coming into contact with Prabhupada, all their sinful activities were destroyed.
但是呢，就是由于他们和 Srila Prabhupada 接触了，使得他们所有的这些不虔诚以及所有的罪都被消除掉了，就都被。
So in that way, they receive a very special type of piety.
那所以以这样的方式呢，他们就接受了一种非常特别的虔诚。
That's a type of piety that is conducive to receive the mercy of the pure devotee.
那么就是这样的这种虔诚呢，使得他们能够去接收到一位纯粹奉献者的仁慈。
That's why so many of them, even though they were very impious, very sinful, they become devotees and they start practicing devotional service. And there are so many others, uncountable entities who met Srila Prabhupada and in the future will become attracted to devotional service because that piety is already planted in their hearts.
那也所以就这样的是这样呢，就使他们的这个内心的这些罪以及他们的这些不虔诚呢都被消失，就是都被清除掉，使得他们能够去接受奉献服务，接受这个仁慈去从事奉献服务。而且呢，就是由于Srila Prabhupada的这种做法呢，使很多人的内心中呢都种下了一个种子，使得以后他们也都有可能去为Krishna 做奉献服务了。
That's why Srila Prabhupada is encouraging. He said all the devotees should be traveling all over the world to give the Lord's mercy to the conditioned souls.
那所以就是为什么Srila Prabhupada 他会鼓励所有的奉献者都应该在世界上去进行旅行，然后在旅行的这个过程中呢，就可以把这个仁慈去给予所有的这些受条件限制的灵魂。
Yeah, to purify the conditioned souls.
净化这些受条件限制的灵魂。
And when their hearts become a little purified, they can take the process of devotional service and become perfect.
那么当他们的这个心得到了一些净化之后呢，他们就可以去从事奉献服务了，并且呢可以去做一些服务。就是他们就可以得到净化，然后呢可以去做一些奉献服务了。
So it was on Srila Prabhupada's order.That many of his followers had gone all over the world.
那么也就是由于是十二爸爸有这样的一个训令，使得他很多的这个追随者们都会在世界进行旅行。
To distribute Srila Prabhupada's mercy, which is no different from Krishna's mercy.
以这样的方式呢，去派发十二爸爸的仁慈。那么十二爸爸的仁慈呢，和 Krishna 的仁慈没有任何的区别。
So, and now even today, the followers, his followers and the followers of his followers are continuing, traveling all over the world to distribute that mercy.
那也就是即便在当今世界也是如此，舍拉帕帕的追随者的追随者的追随者们也都在世界范围内进行旅行去派发这份仁慈。
This was all initiated by Srila Prabhupada.
但是所有这一切呢，都是由释迦帕帕开始的。
And through his books, so many people are still being awakened to their dormant devotion to the Lord.
就是由于释迦帕帕的这个书籍，也使得很多人把他们封存在内心中的对主的奉献服务的这个状态给敞开了。
And it will continue for the 10,000 years to come.
而且呢，就这件事情呢，也会在将来的接下来的这一万年的时间里面持续进行。
That's why Srila Prabhupada's books are considered the law books for humanity for the next 10,000 years to come.
也就这个原因呢，使得 Srila Prabhupada 的这个书籍呢， 被认为是在接下来这一万年里面人类的律法。
So simply by coming in contact with Prabhupada, either directly or through his books or through his followers, people can immediately their sinful reactions in their hearts can be destroyed and they can become attracted to devotional service.
所以呢，就是通过和释迦帕帕相接触，无论是和释迦帕帕直接的接触，还是通过他的书籍，以及通过他的后人和他的这种接触，都使得人们内心的这个。这个心就是内心的这个罪呢，得到了净理和清理和净化，然后使得他们对这个主做奉献服务的这颗心呢敞开了。
Yes, so otherwise, how could we have become devotees, or how could we have started to the process of devotional service?
否则的话，我们怎么能够成为奉献者呢？我们怎么能够开始我们的这个奉献服务的程序呢？
In Kali Yuga, nobody is qualified. Everybody is so contaminated.
因为在这个物质世界，在这个卡利年代，没有人是有任何资格的，因为所有的人呢都是非常的被污染的。
So this is the contact of a pure devotee of the Lord.
那么所以呢，这就是由于我们触及了。接触了一位主的纯粹的奉献者而导致的。
Because Krishna is manifested in the heart of his pure devotee completely in his original form.
因为主呢，他是以他原初的这种形象，完全的处在他的纯粹的奉献者的内心之中的。
So naturally, a person who comes in contact with a pure devotee becomes attracted to the qualities of Krishna that were manifested in the heart of a pure devotee.
对，那已经非常的自然。当一个人他接触到一位纯粹奉献者的时候呢，他也会被这个纯粹奉献者所展现出来的内心中的 Krishna 所展现出来的这些品质所吸引了。
So this is the power. The power of a great Vaishnavas like Srila Prabhupada.
那么所以呢，这也就是一位伟大的 Vaishnava 像 Srila Prabhupada 的这样的人物的展现的巨大的力量。
Because they have no hankerings there in their lives.
因为在他们的生命中呢，他们是没有任何的渴求的。
They just want to become menial servants of the Lord.
他们只是想让自己成为主的。非常的卑微的仆人。
And their hearts are totally free from any sinful activities.
而且呢，在他们的内心中呢，是完全的不具有任何的罪恶的活动。
So they can understand the Supreme Lord.
所以呢，他们是能够理解至尊主的。
And by their mercy, they can give opportunity to the conditioned souls to also understand the Supreme Lord in his personal form.
所以说呢，他们通过他们的仁慈呢，他们也可以以这样的人格化的这种形象，使得受条件限制的灵魂也能够有能力去理解至尊主的品格。
Whereas others, through the study of the scriptures, through their austerities, their penances, even for thousands and thousands of lifetimes, they can never achieve devotion to the Lord.
但是呢，别的人。哪怕是学上好几千年，然后呢是通过不断的这种苦行，不断的忏悔，不断的去学习，但是呢，他是没有办法真正的去理解至尊主的。
So this is what Lord Brahma is hinting here. That is even though the Lord is very difficult to be understood, but there is a possibility.
所以说呢，主 Brahma 他就在这里面给了我们这个线索，就是即便是主，他是非常的难以去理解的，但是呢，确实有机会的，有这种可能性去理解他的。
Free from material hankerings, only a Vaishnava can become free from material hankerings.
也就是说呢，去摆脱任何的物质的欲求，那么但是只有 Vaishnava 才有可能不具备任何的物质的欲求。
So we just need to somehow get the mercy of a Vaishnava.
那么，所以对于我们来说呢，我们就应该通过各种各样的方式去获得一位 Vaishnava 的仁慈。
Okay, we stop here.
那我们的讲课这部分就到这儿。
And if any question or comments?
看看大家有没有任何的问题或者是评述。At this point, there is no question yet.
Okay. Is any question from last time?
No.
No, okay.
It was last time we were speaking an inconceivable topic, so...
Oh, it was very inconceivable, too inconceivable even to ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Hare Krishna, 亲爱的大家，那么现在这会儿呢，阿叔还在线，如果大家有问题的话呢，就可以用这个时间提上来。So let's wait.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
上一周有一个问题留下来。
好，一个问题啊。
对。
对。
Okay, so there was last week. How come that is
wrong? 你看到吗？就在我们那个上面啊，还是完善发布，是我们结束之后发出来的。
我等一下可以啊，我往上倒倒。
嗯。
Everyone's supposed question.帕普帕德的要旨中提到了恶魔 Ravana 用科技的方法造了，哎，他回答了已经啊，什么意思？
回答了吗？这个
回答了，这是上上周的问题。
That's last question.
No, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, this question really answered last week because that is a question from previous week of Ravana.
Yeah. 嗯嗯，好的，那暂时我们再稍等一下啊，我看一下。我来转。
Sumukhi Radha。
Sumukhi Sumukhi Radha Mataji， 转发新奉献的疑问，顶拜亲爱的阿叔和请问博家梵歌中讲到的物质世界的一切是真实存在的？只不过，稍等，不行，稍等。请问《博伽梵歌》中讲到的物质世界中的一切是真实存在的，只不过是短暂的展示。又说物质世界的一切都是玛雅幻象，那么这块有点糊涂，请老师指教。阿叔，this is a question from a new devotee. She is asking.In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the material world is actually existed. However, it is a temporary manifestation. In another place, it also said that in this material world, everything is Maya. So I'm a little bit confused. Why, you know, in one way it is said about Israel, but in another way say it is illusion is Maya.So could you elaborate about this?
Yeah, it is Maya because everything within this material world is temporary. So anything only exists for some time and then disappears. There's no real substance.
那么之所以说它是 Maya 的原因呢，是因为在这个物质世界所展现出来的所有的这些事物，它都是短暂。存在的它并不是永恒的存在，那也就是说呢，所有存在的这些事情呢，它并没有一个真正的实质。
It means if things are changing, means what is now it was not the same as it was before. It's not the same thing.
嗯，那也就是说呢，所有的这些事情它们都是在一种变化状态的。也就是说，之前所展现的这种状况跟后来所展现出来的这个状况，它并不是一件事儿了。
So our bodies, for instance, are changing.
比如说我们的身体是在变化的。
Where is your childhood body?
那所以你的这个童年的这个身体去了哪里呢？
Now you have a totally different body.
那么你现在呢，这个身体已经完全的不一样了。
Or you may say, oh, but that was me when I was a child because even my mother can see there's some similarity in the face, in something, the eyes, the nose.
嗯，但是也许可能你会说，哦，那就是我呀，那是我小的时候的那个样子。那我妈现在还能看出来，就我跟小时候长得也还有相似的样子呢。比如说我的脸蛋也长得差不多，我的眼睛啊，我的鼻子呀，都还是差不多那个状态。
But actually, reality the bodies are totally different.
但是从这个真实的这个角度上来讲呢，就是这个身体它已经完全是不一样的一个躯体了。
They look similar because it's the same soul occupied that occupied that small child body is the same soul that is occupying now the grown-up body. It's the same soul. So because of the presence of the soul with the real person, the bodies, they manifest some similarities. But the bodies are different.
但是呢，它之所以它看起来还有一些相似之处的原因呢，是因为啊，无论是在这个童年的躯体，还是在长大了以后的这个躯体里面所待着的这个灵魂是同一个灵魂，所以说呢，就是因为这个同一的灵魂，使得看起来是有相似的，但是这个躯体已经完全不一样了。
嗯 ，So that's the nature of the material world. It's constantly in change.
对呢，这个就是物质世界的状态，那它就是在不断的变化之中的。
So what was before is not anymore now.
对呢，在之前的，就是之前所存在的那个事情，已经不是现在了，现在是了。
This is what is called an illusion. We take it as a reality, but it's no reality because it's always changing.
也就是这个原因呢，我们把它称为叫幻象。我们觉得好像它是一种真实，但它其实它不是真的，因为它在不断的变化之中。
So everything is constantly changing. It's not the same thing. So there's no real existence. It's just for a certain time, and then it's no more.
那么所以说呢，一切的事情它都是这个长段，就是在不断的变化之中，也就意味着它是没有一个实质的。它变了以后呢，这个东西就不在了，没有了。
That's why you say it's an illusion.
那所以说我们才会把它称为叫幻象虚幻
because it has no tangible reality no tangible existence
因为它没有一个实实在在的真实也没有一个实实在在的存在、
Next question
The next question is from still from her 经典又讲凡是和神作对的反对神的恶魔们 Krishna 就会把他们杀死并获得解脱而这是那些经过了多年修炼苦修的瑜伽士及修行者们都很难达到的。那大家都去反对神好了，有点不能理解。Okay, it's still from the same new devotee. Yeah, and she said that because of Sastra also said that all of those demons who are against the Lord.Then they will be killed by Krishna. Then they will get liberation. However, this liberation is so hard to be gotten by those yogis who has practiced those many years through their austerities and also repentances. So if that is the case, why everybody just go ahead to become a demon to against the Lord?
Yeah. Let's become demons.
那好吧，那我们大家都成为恶魔吧。
Yeah, this demon, not all demons are killed by the Lord personally and achieve such liberation.
但事实上，并不是所有的恶魔都能够亲自的被主所杀，并且能够得到解脱。
These are very special demons.
那么这些恶魔的都是非常特别的恶魔。
And in order to develop those powers that these demons have, they perform many austerities, many penances.
那么为了能够达到这样的恶魔的级别那他们其实是已经经历了很多的苦修经历了很多的这个忏悔了
much more difficult austerities than the yogis perform
他们之前所从事的这些活动要比瑜伽师所从事的活动要难多了
yeah but what was for a wrong purpose to develop a power to fight against the lord
What is the wrong purpose? Sorry, I didn't hear that.
They performed those austerities for a wrong purpose. They wanted to become powerful enemies of the Lord.
Okay, 但是呢，他们去经过这些苦行，其实他们的这个目的错了，因为他们做这件事情呢，是希望能够让自己成为能够击败主的敌人。
So if the Lord became very attracted to them.So he fought with them and killed them and any person who comes in direct contact with the Lord becomes liberated.
但是主呢又被他们所吸引，因为呢主可以被他们就可以和他们进行打斗。那么在这个打斗的过程中呢，主呢就可以把他给这个杀死。那么任何一个来到主身边的这些人呢，都能够得到主的给他们的这种解脱。
But these are very rare cases.
但这些呢都是非常罕有的例子。
These are very special demons.
因为这些都是非常特别的恶魔。
The majority of the demons will die by caused by material nature, and they go to hell.
但是大部分的这些恶魔呢，都会被物质自然的这个律法所杀。那他们被杀死以后呢，他们去的地方都是地狱。
So if you want to become a demon to be killed by the Lord to achieve liberation, then you have to perform many great austerities, even more hard than the yogis.
所以说呢，你如果想要成为一个被主所杀的，并且能够达到解脱的一位恶魔的话，那么你要经过非常长的、非常艰苦的苦行才可以。而且这种苦行呢，要比那些瑜伽师所经受的苦行要难多了。
And after all that trouble, you can only have impersonal liberation.
而经过了这么多麻烦以后，所得到的这个解脱呢，它仅仅是一个非人格的解脱而已。
It's really not worthwhile.
所以呢，根本就不值得去这么做。
Okay, next question.
The next question is from Lao Ni Prabhu. 至尊奥义书祈祷文说，主既完美又完整，流愿出的单元也是完美和完整的。那么根据这个说法，物质世界也是完美的。有一次 Tamala Krishna Guru 回答问题时说，这个物质世界是不完美的世界，结论是这个物质世界既完美又不完美，这种说法对否？这个物质世界既完美又不完美。In the Ishvapanishad, the invocation prayer said that the Lord is a whole and complete.Is perfect and complete, and also all of the things emanated from the Lord also perfect and complete. So if that is the case, the material world is also perfect. However, in one of the Tamala Krishna Gosmarj's lecture, he answered the questions. He said that. This material world is not a perfect world. So, the conclusion from now is that this material world is perfect, but is not perfect. So, is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's not perfect as a spiritual world. Certainly not.
那么这个物质世界呢，毫无疑问它不是像灵性世界那么完美。
But the energies you use to establish this material world are perfect and complete because they are the Lord's energies.
但是呢，创造出这个物质世界的这个能量，它是完美又完整的，因为呢，这个能量是主的能量。
And what it makes it really imperfect, look like imperfect, is the fact that the way we use this material energy, the way we live within this material world.
那么之所以看到它不完美的，就之所以让它展现出这种不完美的这种原因呢，是由于我们在这个物质世界里面去运用它的这种状态，让它变得不完美了。
And is not perfect in the is also imperfect in the sense that everything here is manifest temporarily.
而且呢，它还有一个不完美的状态呢，就是在这个物质世界里面，所有的这一切呢，都是暂时的，都是临时的。
But material energy is perfect and complete.
但是呢，这个物质的能量呢，它是完美的，而且是的。
Only the material manifestation it comes for some time and then disappears.
那么只有呢，就是这个物质的展现，它是时来时去的。
So the cosmic manifestation it manifests for some time and then disappears, even though it's perfect, but it only manifests for some time and then disappears.
所以说呢，这个宇宙的展示呢，它也是只是在一段时间内它展现了，然后呢，它又消失了。即便是它是一种完美的展现。但是呢，它只是在一段时间内会去展现。
So it does not manifest the characteristics of the spiritual world of being eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge.
所以说呢，它并没有展现出在灵性世界所展现出来的这种特征，也就是说呢，它并不是永恒极乐和知识的。 可有全知的。
If we use this material energy just for our own purpose, then yes, it will cause us trouble. It's very imperfect. But if we use in Krishna service, then we can experience the Vaikuntha atmosphere even within this material world.
所以呢，如果我们要是把这个物质世界的这种展示用在做去满足我们自己的那些享乐的这个愿望的话，那么它就会给我们造成很多的麻烦，而且呢，它也是不完美的。但是如果我们要是把这个物质世界所展现出来的这个状况用作对 Krishna 的服务的话，那么就会把我们的这种环境给创造成像灵性世界一样完美的Vaikuntha的氛围了。
So it depends on which how you see it. If you see it as the energy of the Lord, then it's perfect and it's complete, even though manifest temporarily. But if you see it as a place for enjoyment, then that becomes really imperfect, causes so much trouble.
那所以说呢，就要看我们怎么去看待这件事情了。如果我们要是把它给看成是主的能量的话，那么它就是完美的。即便是它有的时候呢。会这个展现，然后呢，它有的时候呢，它又不在了。但是如果我们要是把它给想象成是一个享乐的一个地方的话，那它就是处在不完美的一种状态，因为它是会给我们带来不尽的麻烦和苦恼。
Next one.
The next question is from Radha Ananda Mataji. Hare Krishna, 深深的顶拜敬爱的阿叔，请问如何在说话做事时保持 Krishna 知觉？或者如何让自己始终处于善待一切的状态里，无限的感恩。Hare Krishna, please accept my very deep obeisances to you, dear Ashu. My question is that how to maintain the Krishna consciousness through talking and performing actions, or how can we always maintain ourselves in a state?To very nicely to treat everything. Thank you so much.
Can you repeat again the question?
Basically, her question is that how to maintain our Krishna consciousness through our talking and also doing things. And also, how can we maintain in a kind of a situation always very nicely to treat everything?
Yeah, we have to be always engaged with our...With our words, with our minds, with our bodies, our senses, we have to be always engaged in devotional service in order to be always under that spiritual atmosphere.
那么为了要让我们处在这个灵性的这种氛围之中，我们始终要让我们的躯体，让我们的言语，让我们的心意，让我们的感官处在对 Krishna 的服务之中。
So we, that's our process. We have to try to be always engaged in some activities with our senses or speaking or thinking about Krishna, always related to Krishna.
所以说呢，我们就总要时刻的让我们的这个言谈呢，还有我们的感官呢，我们的想法呀，总是处于能够和 Krishna 相连的事物之中。
So in the beginning, that's not always possible.
所以呢，在最一开始的时候呢，这件事儿并不是总是可能的。
Because for many lifetimes we have developed bad habits.
因为呢，我们都已经有很多的这种生世里面都培养出了很坏的习惯。
So that's why we have to practice how to engage the senses always in devotional service, our words, our minds. You have to practice.
所以就为什么我们需要去练习？如果让我们的言语、心意，还有我们的这些行动，总是处于对 Krishna 的服务之中。
It's like a child in the beginning does not know how to speak.
那比如说呢，就像是一个小孩在最开始的时候呢，他是不会说话的。
So it does not know the grammar. It does not know how to read the words. It does not know how to pronounce the words.
比如说，他也不懂语法，他也不会念字，他也根本就不知道怎么把这个字给读出来。
He does not know how to write.
Sorry, he doesn't know what?
How to write.
Oh, 他也不知道怎么这个写字。
But with practice.
但是呢通过练习
gradually will be able to read the characters, will be able to write them down, will be able to construct sentences, and will be able to spell many things, and eventually can even become a poet.
然后但是慢慢的呢他就学会认字了，他也会读这些字了，而且呢他也能够去理解这些字的这个意思了，然后慢慢的呢他就能够写东西了，写着写着他就甚至成为了一个就是能够写诗了。
So we have to practice, that's the only way to achieve a full Krishna consciousness, to be always engaged in devotional service is through practice.
所以说呢这个练习是我们唯一的一个让我们能够达到 Krishna 知觉并且呢去为 Krishna 做奉献服务的方法练习。
Because this tendency to engage in devotional service is already there in our hearts.
因为呢我们想要为 Krishna 做服务的这种倾向其实它一直都在我们的内心之中。
As the child already has inborn the propensity to speak and to write and read.
因为作为一个孩子他其实本来就要去写字要去读书要去讲话的这种倾向。
So through practice this abilities will become evoked.
所以呢就通过练习所有的这些能力呢全部都展现出来了。
So if you read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, you get so much information how to engage the senses, how to engage the words, and how to think of Krishna, because Srila Prabhupada is constantly mentioning these things.
所以如果我们要是能够这个经常的去阅读 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍的话，那我们就会知道如何把我们的说话做事还有我们的感觉我们的这个感官致力在对 Krishna 的相关的这些活动之中，因为 Krishna 因为 Srila Prabhupada 在他的书籍里面是反复的强调这些的。
Besides that, Srila Prabhupada is always glorifying Krishna, so the more we hear about glorification of Krishna, the more we become attracted to him, and the more we become attracted to him, naturally, we want to be always engaged in his service, because that's a natural tendency.
而且呢，这个 Srila Prabhupada 他在书籍里面呢，也会恒常不断的去荣耀 Krishna。那么当我们不断的去聆听对 Krishna 的荣耀之词的以后呢，我们就很自然的想为他去做服务。那么当我们为他去做服务了以后呢，那我们也就很自然的在不断的去想着他了，因为这个是我们一个非常自然的一种倾向。
So we have to practice. We practice chanting. We practice doing practical service with our senses. Whatever service is required, we study Srila Prabhupada's books. We sing, we chant the holy names, and we associate with devotees, and gradually our attraction intensifies, and then we will be naturally engaged constantly in Krishna service.
那么所以呢，我们就需要去练习，我们要去练习着，不断的去念诵，还有呢，去做一些实际的一些服务。然后呢，我们比如说要去练习着去读书啊，然后呢去唱诵啊，然后呢在通过不断的这种练习的这个过程中呢，它就会变成了一个我们非常自然要做的一件事情。当我们变成一个很自然要做的事情的时候呢，我们就一直处在这个 Krishna 知觉中了，它就变成自然的展现了。
When you become Krishna conscious, then naturally we will be always engaged in Krishna service.
因为当我们变成 Krishna 知觉的时候呢，我们就很自然的一直想要去为 Krishna 做服务了。
But because before being Krishna conscious, at least we should be conscious of everything we do to become Krishna conscious.
但是呢，在我们具有 Krishna 知觉之前，我们首先呢要非常的有意识的去知道我们都在做什么，就是在。有 Krishna 知觉之前要先有知觉。
So don't be mechanical in anything you do. Be conscious of why we are doing and what's the purpose of what you're doing and how you should do it.
而且呢，我们在做事情的时候呢，也不要是机械化的去做这个事情。我们呢是要非常有意识的去知道我们在做什么，以及我们为什么要去做这件事情。
Okay, next question.
The next question is from Maharani Mataji. Hare Krishna, 顶拜阿叔。有位新人说佛教徒说佛教是最好的，基督徒说他们是最好的，你们说 Krishna 是最好的， 有什么证据针对这个问题，请问阿叔应该怎么回答呢？
Yeah, translate.
Okay, the question is that there was a newcomer said that Buddhist said that the Buddhism is the best teaching. The Christian said that their teaching is the best. However, you said that Krishna is the best. Are there any proof to say which one is really the best? So how to answer this type of question?
Well, we say Krishna consciousness is the best because the knowledge we have about the Supreme Lord is more detailed, more complete than the knowledge that the Lord gives it throughout all these different religious affiliations.
那我们之所以说Krishna 知觉是最好的原因呢，是因为在 Krishna 知觉里面给了更为详细的关于至尊人格守神的一些信息，相对于其他的那些宗教来讲。
So much more information is there about the Lord in His personal form and His personal dealings, you know, that you don't find in other religious traditions.
就在这个 Krishna 知觉里面呢，给了我们很多的关于至尊他作为人以及他的就是他的形象、他的活动。的各方面的这些信息，但是其他的那些修习的传承呢，没有给出这些信息。
So you just need to read the book, read our books, and you'll find out there's so much detailed information about the Lord and the loving relationships between the Lord and His devotees that is overwhelming.
那么所以说呢，我们只需要去阅读这些相关的书籍，然后呢，就能够去读到关于主的。这个各就是主这个人以及他所从事的这些事情的这些信息，而且呢也能够知道很多他和他的奉献者之间的这些相互的沟通和交流，那么这些呢都是非常的震动人心的。
Okay, then the last question.
The last question is from Dinatarini Mataji. 人格和非人格的最主要的区别是不是在于是不是承认至尊主是一个人，对吗？为了知己知彼，奉献者需要去深入的了解非人格有关哲学吗？顶白阿叔，阿叔 ，please accept my very humble obeisances. May I ask the major differences between personal and impersonal is about? Okay. The major differences in between the personalism and impersonalism is about acknowledge that the Supreme Lord is a person. Is that right? And in order for us to have a better understanding of the other tradition, if it's also possible, I mean, if it's also necessary for the devotee to have a deeper understanding of the philosophies preached by the impersonalist.
Well, we don't need to know too much.
我们不需要了解太多。
We just know that impersonalists, they say the absolute truth has no form, has no name, has no qualities, has no activities. It's just an energy.
那我们只是需要知道这个非人格主义者他们所说的这个神是没有形象的，是没有活动的，而且呢也 no form, no activity, no
form, no name, no qualities, no activities.
哦，对，就是没有这个形象，没有名字，没有活动，然后呢，也没有这个品质。
So how can you relate with that?
那所以，如果要是没有这些东西的话，我们怎么能够和它有关联呢？
They see the absolute truth just like just as a spiritual energy.
那么他们说呢，这个绝对的真理它只不过是一个灵性的能量。
And we belong to that spiritual energy.
而我们呢是属于那个灵性的能量的。
And the perfection means to become one with that spiritual energy.
完美呢也就意味着去和那个灵性的能量合一。
No more name, no more form, no more qualities, no more activities.
所以呢，也就不会再有名字，不会再有形象，不会再有活动，也不会再有任何的品质了。
So they do that because they are attracted to that because they know that names, forms, and activities and qualities in this material world are imperfect and they condition us to material existence. So they think liberation means to become free from all that thing.
那么他们之所以被这个所吸引的原因呢，是因为在这个物质世界里面的名声、形象、活动还有这个品质都是不完美的，因为都是被受条件限制的。所以呢，他们就希望能够在非人格的状态下去摆脱所有的这些不完美性。
Yes, the material form, material names, material qualities, material activities.Are imperfect.
的确，这个物质的名声、物质的形象、物质的活动以及物质的品格，确实都是不完美的。
So and this they cause us suffering.
他们会让我们受苦。
So we cannot be happy if you are attached to these things.
那么，所以如果我们要是去依附于这些事物的话，那我们就没法快乐。
So impersonalists, they think that if you become liberated from these things, then we will be happy.
那么，所以非人格主义者就觉得，如果要是能够从这些事情解脱出来的话呢，那就会变得快乐起来。
And that's true.
那这也是事实。
Yeah. If you are not in contact anymore with the sources of miseries, then we can be happy.
那么就是如果你要是再不和这些这个受苦的源泉去接触的话呢，那也是确实会变得快乐起来。
It's like a patient in the hospital with all kinds of tubes and pipes and things connected with his body because he's suffering a very miserable condition.
那就比如说一个在医院里面的一个病人，他的身上呢绑了各种各样的这个管子呀、针头啊。那么他在这样的一种状态下呢，是非常的痛苦的。
He cannot move.
他动不了。
It's so miserable.
很痛苦。
So he just wants to be free from all those sources of misery.
那么他呢，就希望能够让自己摆脱所有这些受苦的原因。
He just wants to have no more pain.
他只是不想让自己再疼了。
But that's not the goal of his life.
但这并不是他的生命的目标。
Once he becomes free from all these problems, he wants to resume a normal life, to have loving relationships with others, to engage in activities, etc., etc.
那么，当他摆脱了这个处境了以后呢，他其实还是希望自己能够过上一个正常的生活，能够和其他的人相亲相爱，有各种各样的美好的活动等等等等。
So in personal liberation, yes, it's already wonderful because you are free from material existence, but What about your real existence, your spiritual existence?
那么这个得到了这个非人格解脱的状态呢，其实也是挺好的，因为呢，他摆脱了这个物质的存在、物质的状态。但是呢，那么你真正的这个状态是一个怎么样的一个状态呢？你的这个灵性的存在在哪里呢？
Because you are just there, we're just free from miseries, but you don't have really an existence. You don't have a form, you don't have...qualities, you don't have any activities, exchanges with others. Well, this is boring.
那么因为你现在这个状态只是摆脱了痛苦，但是呢，你却没有一个形象，没有一个名字，然后呢，也没有任何的活动，然后呢，也没有和其他人之间那种交流，等于是处在一个不动的一个状态。那这样的一个状态是很没劲的一个状态。
It's very boring. You're just there. We're just free from miseries, but you don't have any activity, no qualities, no exchanges, nothing.
所以呢，是一个非常无聊的一种状态。你就在那儿待着，虽然说没苦，虽然说没有这个痛苦了，但是呢，也没有这个活动，也没有任何的这个名字，没有一个形象，所以什么都没有，处在一个状态。
So impersonal liberation is okay. It's a spiritual liberation, but it's incomplete.
所以说呢，这个非人格的解脱呢，是一个OK 的一个解脱，它是一个灵性的解脱，但是呢，它不完整，它不是一个完全的解脱。
Because it does not allow us to have to realize our spiritual form, our spiritual activities in relationship with the Supreme Lord's form and activities.
因为这会儿呢，他还没有让我们觉悟到我们的灵性的形象，也没有办法让我们真正的觉悟到和主之间的灵性的交流。
So that's why it's just halfway of perfection. It's not complete perfection, it's halfway.
所以说这样的这种完美呢，它不是一个完整的完美，它只不过是一个半道的完美。
So that's why Buddhists, they go to the margin between the spiritual, the material and the spiritual world.
So this
That's why the Buddhists, they achieve the margin between the material and the spiritual world.
Okay, 那么所以就是为什么这些这个佛教徒呢，他们会达到一个灵性世界和物质世界边缘的状态。
And impersonalists, they achieve Brahman, the energy emanating from the spiritual world, from the Supreme Lord.
那么这个这个非人格主义者呢，他们会达到这个梵的境界。那么这个梵光呢，它是由至尊主的至尊的能量所绽放出来的光芒。
It's coming from the spiritual world, from the body of the Lord.
那么它呢，是来自于灵性世界，是来自于主的身体的光芒。
But they don't go further.
但是呢，也就到这儿为止了，他不能再往前走了。
So they cannot be completely satisfied.
所以呢，他们是没有办法变得完全的满心满意足的。
Because a spiritual soul is a person.
因为这个灵性的灵魂，它是一个人。
And the person needs personal exchanges with other persons.
那么这个人呢，他是需要和别人来进行一些这个沟通和交流的。
He needs to engage in activities.
他需要去活动。
But in Brahman or in Nirvana, there is no such things.
但是呢，在 就是在这个 Brahman 的这个梵觉的这个状态下的时候呢，是没有这些交流的。
In Brahman and Nirvana.
就是在涅槃的状态下。
There is no activities. There is no form. There is nothing.
所以在涅槃的状态下的时候呢，是没有形象、没有活动的，是什么都没有的。
It's boring，
是很没劲的。
Tell them it's boring。
所以你得跟他们说，那很没劲、很无聊。
There's no real nectar in existence。
所以在这样的一种状态下是没有真正的甘露的。
Okay, we stop here. Keep the other question for next time, please.
Okay， 那我们下面的这个问题呢？我们留到下面。下面 actually is not a question, it's a comment.
Okay, we'll read that next time.
Okay, 我们下一节课再读老尼帕布写的这个话。我们今天这课的就到这儿了。
Thank you very much for your questions.
非常感谢大家的问题。
Thank everybody for listening.
非常感谢大家的聆听。
A special thank you to Mother Sati and Dhanakeli Mataji for allowing us to be together for some time.
然后特别的感谢萨提玛拉姐还有丹娜凯里允许我们能够以这样的方式相聚一段的时间。
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari 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 Bo. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hari Bo.
Hari Bo. 瓦昆塔之音服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，那我们今天的早课呢就到此结束了。非常的感谢阿叔 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 为我们的精彩讲述，还有对所有的这些问题的耐心解答。也非常非常感谢所有的奉献者的聆听，以及大家提出来这么的好的问题。谢谢萨提玛拉吉，祝大家在 Krishna 之觉之中度过一个非常美妙的周日。Hare Krishna。